There we go.
I'm going to move it. Is that better? Excellent. All right, this is the Highlands, about an hour outside of Sydney. Very beautiful country. If it's not named with an Aboriginal name, it's named for the Scottish, Irish, Welsh heritage. And it is very beautiful. This is about, like I said, an hour outside of Sydney. This picture, this gorge here, was right out the missionary's back door that I stayed with at the time I was there. But this here is Lake George. It's a national icon there. It's a disappearing lake. It's a very large expanse of land, but when I was there, it was totally dry. They just said at the beginning of this year, the water just started coming back, but they said that the water comes back sometimes so fast that it'll drown the livestock that are out there. This area is very well known for witchcraft ceremonies that take place around it because of the disappearing lake. The water has been as high as the V in this post here. But obviously, I'm not going there for scenery or animals. I'm going there to reach the people. Australia was founded as a penal colony, as most of you probably know. And now they have every modern convenience. You'll notice the sign there. Burger King was trademarked before they moved over there. So they were unable to take that. But like I said, I'll be specifically in New South Wales. New South Wales has 7 million people in it. It's in the bottom right-hand corner there. And it has 7 million people that live there. The whole country only has 22 million people that live in Australia. So one out of three people live in New South Wales. And 5 million people live in the city of Sydney there. And that means that one out of every 4 to 5 people in the whole country live in the city of Sydney. I spoke to a brother about a year ago, a missionary who is there, and he said it would take, if you dropped 100 missionaries in the city, they would never see each other. For me, just to reach the 5 million people on my own without taking a break, giving each person a 5-minute presentation of the gospel would take me about 47 and a half years. But here we are on visitation. The first apartment building I went to, backtrack a little bit, when I was 9 years old and God had dealt with me about going to Australia, I thought, you know, God, I'm going to get a head start on this. What language do they speak? I didn't know. I was a dumb little kid. And so I was very disappointed to find out they spoke English. But here I get to the country, our first apartment building we go to on visitation, about 8 units, 6 people come to the door. They were all of Italian descent. They all spoke Italian along with English. The strange thing is God had given me a desire to learn Italian, start learning Italian a few years before. And I practiced it on and off, more off than on. But God came down and tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, why can't you witness in Italian yet? That is something I believe that God will use when I get over there. I've had the privilege of being in an Italian service and dealing with an Italian church up in Montreal. And that's opened my eyes a little to some opportunities that may present themselves in Australia in the future. The next language that they use is Chinese. The Chinese have been immigrating there like crazy, the Mandarin-speaking ones, over the last 15 years. Brother Paul up there on the left, he speaks Chinese. And before about 15 years ago, he said he wasn't able to use his gift, this language that he had learned as a kid. And but God opened the doors, but people started immigrating there, and he's been able to start several Chinese Bible studies because of it. But many corners down in Sydney look just like Chinatown. You'll see everything's in Chinese. That sign there on a door was in an apartment building, it's obviously. But they're all over the place. Brother Wheat recommended to a young missionary starting out there that they master an Asian language, and specifically a Mandarin. But here outside the bus station, I was passing out tracts with Brother Ray here. And if any of you have ever been to New York, that's the place that I've been and passed out tracts that is most like Sydney, Australia. It seems just like New York. Mass amounts of people. And you can easily pass out several hundred or 1,000 tracts in a very short amount of time. We're outside the bus station here, just like I've done in New York, outside the subways. And I saw a young Italian man off to my left coming down the sidewalk, punching away on his cell phone. And I called out to him in Italian. Without even looking up, he came over to me and took the track and said, grazie, grazie. But again, I believe that is something that God will open some doors with in the future to reach them. There are only a few Italian people in the church there currently. And I will be going to work with Brother Wheat. But it is, unlike here in the States, in the city of New York, they don't build up so much as out. The city is very, very large. It takes quite a while to just drive across it. But it is mass amounts of people. And like I said, you can track, put out a lot of tracks in a very short amount of time because of that. But going downtown, you need to take a very wide array of different languages, tracks in different languages. They use everything from Greek, the Chinese, the Vietnamese tracks over there. But if you could, please do pray for Brother Wheat and his wife. We're planning on coming back here to the States next year to raise some more support because of the currency exchange. Brother Hoffman said it earlier when I went there about almost 2 years ago now. It was about 70 American cents to their dollar, and now it's about dollar for dollar. So they have lost a very large amount of their support. And if you could also pray for their health, they have some health issues, both of them. This is Brother Paul, the gentleman who speaks Chinese, and he has been a great help to Brother Wheat over the years. Every time Brother Wheat gets up and starts a new church, he finds a new job in the area and moves along with him. So he has been Brother Wheat's right-hand man for about 23 or 24 years, unmarried, and been serving the Lord there with him in Sydney now for the last 8 years. But this is Brother Ray and Brother Paul, Brother Ray and Brother Rod, along with Brother Paul. They do most of the evangelism. They've both been saved, like I said, about 8 years. Brother Ray led Brother Rod to the Lord. They were co-workers. But Brother Ray, someone had actually witnessed to him years ago before he got saved, and they had given him a chick track, and he had stuck it in his wallet, took it home, and threw it in a drawer. And years later, after he had gotten saved, he went back and found that track. And a lot of people... I've talked to a lot of people, and they don't think tracks work. But I have a habit of asking people how they got saved everywhere I go once I get talking to them for a while. And about 50% of the people have that same exact story, that someone gave them a track, and they threw it in a drawer. They thought, that's interesting. They threw it in a drawer and eventually got saved. But this lady here is an excellent member of the church. She doesn't go out so much on to the street with the guys, but she has invited and brought over 100 first-time visitors to the church within one calendar year. She's an excellent witness there in Sydney. But if you could, please do pray for Open Bible Baptist Church in Sydney. They desperately need a building, and the land is very expensive over there. The building that they looked at while I was there was about $1.2 million, and the whole building could have fit in this auditorium. But if you could, please do pray for them. They desperately do need a facility. Then if I could have the lights, and if you would, open your Bibles to Proverbs. And before we start, if anyone has any questions, I will take them right now. Any questions? If not, you can grab me immediately after the service. But all right, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for me being allowed to be here today, Lord. I'll present my work. Thank you, Lord, for these people. I pray that you will bless them tonight, Lord. Give them something from your word. Lord, you know all the logic or reasoning that I could use, Lord, is all in vain and a waste, Lord. Your word is where the power is, and I pray that you will speak to these people here tonight. Give them, each individual, what they need, Lord, whether they came searching for something or not. Lord, if there is any lost soul here tonight, I pray that they would accept you as their personal Savior and only atonement for their sins, Lord, that they might go to heaven, Lord. Lord, I ask all these things in your precious name. I bless the rest of this message and service, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to preach a little bit tonight on wisdom. Let's look at, continue on in verse 11. First, I want to look at the value of wisdom. The value of wisdom. Verse 11, it says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Turn over to chapter 8. I'm going to use a lot of references, and if you so desire to follow along, do so. If you don't do so. But Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof it than fine gold." About a year ago, I had the one phrase that kind of started to go through my head and started to bother me. And I thought, what does it matter? What does anything you do in life really matter? When it comes down to the end of the day, whether if I came... Every choice I had throughout the day, if I chose the path that I liked and the path that brought me the most happiness, at the end of the day, looking back, what does it matter? What did I really accomplish? Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. You can hold a finger, put a finger there in Proverbs if you so desire. We will be coming back and forth, obviously, dealing with wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished." Chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, verse 5. "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16. "Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard." It's speaking back in verse 13. "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength." Psalm 119. If you know anything about Psalm 119, you know it's the longest chapter in the Bible, and it is also all about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 72. Go to 97. Verse 97. Oh how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Skip down to verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. And back in verse 98, it says, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 16, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" The Bible, so far I said it's better than strength, it's better than rubies, it's better than silver, it's better than gold, all these things that are going to bring you riches and you think happiness. Chapter 8, verse 11 again. Proverbs 8:11. It said, "For wisdom is better than rubies." We know something else that is far better than rubies in 31. But also in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." The Bible says a lot about wisdom here in the Proverbs, a little bit in Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and it speaks over and over how wisdom is very good. Wisdom is worth more than most anything else. And turn to Proverbs chapter 1, where Solomon starts it out. We'll skip down to verse 20. And if you don't like a lot of scripture, I apologize. But get used to it, I guess. "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you." Again, back in verse 20, this is wisdom crying out. Verse 27, "When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." Remember that. "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Back in verse 29, "For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." John 14:6, we know that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We'll continue on in Proverbs here for a little bit. Proverbs chapter 8, back to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" Just through these couple of verses, wisdom is calling out for people, calling out for you to listen and pay attention and hear. It says in verse 2, "She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths." She's out there in the public, very easily to be seen, not hiding. Wisdom isn't hidden. "She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and receive my instruction, and not silver, knowledge rather than gold." And finally, in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "Wisdom hath built her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table, she hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." Number one, wisdom is very valuable. Number two, I want you to look back at the cry of wisdom. Wisdom is calling out to be heard. And there's a reason, because the people who do not... If we had enough time to run through all the references in Proverbs, you're going to find the wise man and the fool. As our Spanish brother, I call the fool El Bobo, the fool. That was a name I used to call my sisters when I was younger. But my brother. But you'll find the wise man and you're going to find the fool. And the fool despiseth instruction. The fool doesn't pay attention. The fool doesn't heed. And we've all had those kinds of people. And when you're the person, you read a proverb a day, and you, as soon as you're working with that individual, that lost individual, and you see the boss reprimand them, and they get all mad, walk off, whatever it is, and then you come to the point where the boss reprimands you that you should be doing this. Everyone has that initial pride that kicks in and wants to take over and say, "I am Lucas Feldman. I don't do any wrong. Psh, you know, who's the best worker here, you know?" And pride wants to kick in, but it says the wise man heareth instruction. He pays attention. But it says wisdom is the principal thing. It's the foremost. It's the first. And wisdom is crying publicly to be heard. And I want to look now at where wisdom is at. The free access of wisdom. Ben Franklin said, the doors of wisdom are never closed. And the Bible has a much better quote on this. Turn to Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28. And I like Job for being the first book written. He has a lot of wisdom. But Job chapter 28, verse 12. "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding?" You're going to find throughout the Proverbs, even Job here, and the Psalms, you're going to find wisdom, knowledge, and prudence, even discretion, all tied together. But verse 12 again. "But where shall wisdom be found?" Verse 13, "Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither silver, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. Then he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it, and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." I'll follow it over to Psalm 19. This is one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 19. And right down to Psalm 19, verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." I grew up on a farm, as I said. I've raised just about every farm animal, and one of those was bees. I've raised bees since I was 11 years old. And a bee in its lifespan, a worker bee, only lives about 60 days, 30 in the hive, 30 outside the hive. And a bee, in those 30 days foraging, its entire life's work of producing honey is about half a teaspoon. It's a very small amount. And you think of all the work that goes into you digesting honey. The bee, most of you already know, people, you've heard it before, honey is bee puke. They digest it, throw it up, digest it, digest it, digest it. This here is shows the Word of God, what you need to do to the Word of God. To get something out of it, you need to digest it, and digest it, and digest it, and digest it, and digest it. When you get in a hive, and you get in there, and you start pulling out the frames with all the honey and the wax on it, and you can very easily tell the difference between what is actually honey and what is still nectar. It's very easy to tell with your eyes just because they haven't capped it over and it's a very lighter color. It's not as dark. And the taste is much more watery. It's much more like water. And this is what you need to do to the Word of God is digest it like honey, like the sweetness of honey. Turn to Psalm 119, back to Psalm 119, which we had just read, Psalm 119. Verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Skip down to verse 100. "I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Oh, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Honey is also, even in our current English vocabulary, is also referenced as gold, liquid gold. And the Bible continuously says honey is like a sweeter, or the Bible, the Word of God, is sweeter than honey. I have a friend. Let's read. Go back to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16:21 says, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning." Like as I said, prudence goes right along with wisdom. I have a friend, and he was unsaved, lost, and he had everything probably the young kid or the young man thinks and desires that he wants. He was down in, I believe it was Miami, Florida, and he was a musician, and he had the perfect contract that he had been seeking all his life on the table, and he was lost as could be. And he had this contract on the table, and all he needed to do was sign it. It was with a very large record company. And he looked at that, and everything that he had thought that he was pursuing, he had a song on the radio, and he was doing very well. But as a lost man, he looked at that, and he realized that this life that he was about to step into was not what he wanted. He did not want to live the life. Probably many of you have heard of the 27 Club. I believe it was five very famous musicians that died at the rock stars that died at the age of 27. And then there's a list of minor ones that also died at the age of 27. And you scroll down that list, and most of them died, you know, drug overdose, some kind of shooting, crazy things like this. My friend, he looked at that, and he said that's not the life he wanted to live. And because of that, he ended up walking away and getting saved because of that moment in his life. But usually prudence doesn't come without a daily schedule, without daily actions every day in your life. And that's ingesting, digesting the Word of God. The Word of God is where you're going to find all the power, the cleansing power in your life. And as we've already read, the changing power in your life. It is the only thing that is going to be able to change your life. A lot of people try other things. I was witnessing to a young heroin addict the other day. He's about 21 years old. well with prudence. There we go. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. You find, if you start pursuing the Lord, as one of the verses we've read, I believe we skimmed over it, says, verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. There's nothing that can take the place in your life than a daily relationship early in the morning with the Lord Jesus Christ, reading your Bible and getting a hold of God. There's nothing that can take that place. I can remember, there's a verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go. Those of you who are parents, you have to be in the way to train your child up in the way. And I can remember waking up early in the morning. My dad always worked a very early shift, got up at 4 to 5 o'clock. And I can remember seeing the light under my door and walking out there. I always felt obligated that I had to say goodbye to my dad if I woke up. And I would walk out there, and if my dad was not reading his Bible at the kitchen table early in the morning by himself, he would be in the living room in the dark praying. That's what matters. That's what matters to change your life. If you want to do something for God or store up something for eternity, at the end of the day, seeking everything for yourself, it has no bearing. It does not matter. And as I said, Ben Franklin said, the doors of wisdom are never shut. You are as close to God today as you desire to be. That goes for you. That goes for me. I am as close today to God as I desire to be. And most of the time, we get our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we get pursuing the things that we so desire in the moment. In this moment, I like this. I'm going to walk through door A because I like door A. I'm going to walk through door B because I like door B. We get caught up in the moment far too often and forsake wisdom. And verse, I believe it was 29 of Proverbs chapter 1 says, I will laugh at their calamity. Because they were not paying attention to wisdom. They were not seeking wisdom. Wisdom, the Bible said, is the principal thing. But the bee, we know the Bible talks about the ant. Go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways and be wise. The bee is very similar to the ant. I studied all kinds of animals when I was a kid. Maybe that's a product of being homeschooled and trapped on a farm. Amen. But the bee is very similar to the ant in that it lives its whole life for the colony and to go out and serve and store up. It's not even the bee, the worker bee that goes out and works itself literally to death and goes off, and when it's about to die, it flies off and dies away from the hive so that no one has to clean it up. That worker bee does not benefit from spending its whole existence, 30 days, outside the hive. It doesn't benefit from all that honey that it stores up, the little amount. It doesn't benefit from it at all. It's for the next generation, probably three generations coming along. It doesn't benefit from it. But the Bible said, go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways and be wise. There's something, God has a job for you to do. And maybe as the scripture says, maybe when it comes your time to teach, if you have not been pursuing wisdom, you won't be able to. You won't be able to impart to maybe some of these kids, or maybe the pastor's going to have you teach some Sunday school class, or go out to the street, or you're going to run into someone at work and witness to them. You're not going to have the right answer because you haven't been studying. You haven't been seeking wisdom as God said. My little sister, she's 18 years old. I'm very proud of her, and she can handle her own with any college kids. She's a very good witness. But I believe since her new 18-year-old adult life, I believe today she just led her first soul to Christ. And there's a girl she's been working with at work, brought her to church today. And I just spoke to my mother, and she said that the girl passed my sister a note during church and said, "Are you afraid to die?" And my sister wrote on the note, "No, I'm not." And the girl kept passing, "Why not? Why not?" while the preacher's preaching. And a long story short, my sister ended up taking her to their next room and leading her to the Lord. That is what really matters. That's what matters at the end of the day. And a lot of times, it seems maybe to the young man, you get maybe to a little bit younger than I am, you get to that point and you're like, wow, you know, I'm the only one out here, God. You know, I used to get like that when I was in the Institute. I'm like, you know, I got my street preacher teacher. It's just he and I and no one else, God. Where are those 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee? And always at that time, I find some track that someone has put there. And they didn't. God didn't have them put that there for some lost person. He had them put it there for me to say, "Hey, stupid, shut up and do what you're supposed to do." But God has something for you to do. Maybe it's today. Go out and you're supposed to witness to somebody, or maybe it's in preparation. Maybe it's in preparation for the future. Young boy or young girl or young lady or young man. Maybe it's something that God is preparing you for the future. So many things that I didn't know. Looking back when I finally got to Australia, and I thought, you know, God had just given me this desire to pursue this. Maybe it was, a language, messing around with, a little bit with a language or an instrument or, you know, some little information, knowledge, reading the Bible, whatever it was. God had just given me, I just kind of got this interest. It was, whatever. And lo and behold, just like Lego pieces, just like cogs in a clock, they all mesh. You're like, wow, this is almost like I was designed, like God had designed this for me to fit here. This is crazy. But if you don't take those steps, you won't be. If you don't seek that wisdom now, seek what God has you to do now, you won't. When you come reach that place, you'll come empty-handed. And God doesn't call you to do something that you can't do. God doesn't have a job for you. God doesn't want you to do a job that you can't do. He told Moses, take the staff that is in thy hand, or what's in your hand, and use that. But I'm going to go ahead and close in a word of prayer. And Brother Pastor, I'll just pray us out. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. If you have any questions about Australia or anything, or if you're lost here today and you want to get saved, I'm sure most anyone in here in the auditorium can lead you to the Lord, show you how you can know for sure where you're going when you die. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that these things were written that ye might know that ye have eternal life. It's not a hope so or a maybe. It's not a 99.9. It's 100% sure you can know today. But let's go to the Lord and pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church and these people here. I pray that you will bless them. Help them to continue and serve you, Lord. Help them not to get out of church, Lord, and forsake the assembling of themselves together. I pray that you'll bless Pastor Hoffman and his family and the members here, Lord. Keep them safe as they go home or wherever they may spend the rest of their evening. Help them to be a witness for you, Lord. Give them opportunities to proclaim you and glorify your name, Lord. I ask all these things in your precious name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much.